What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Hour four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. Big day in football as we wait for these dominoes to start to fall. And, of course, the divisional round is approaching. The Natty is approaching. Tomorrow we'll have Danny Cannell on at 4 o'clock. Preview that college football championship game. Right now it's time for football's finest. Here's the Chief.
Yes, sir. All right, let's get a couple more nuggets on the new candidate to be the Cowboys defensive coordinator and so much more NFL style right after this.
But at the end of the day, it's about taking it a day by a time. A day and a day, just continuing to do that.
You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
To win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game.
It doesn't matter. He pulls another rabbit out of his head.
Cowboys requested permission to interview Eagles DB's coach and passing game coordinator Christian Parker for the vacant defensive coordinator job. He's been coaching for 22 years, and he's coached quite a few really solid DBs. I mean, Surtain, are you kidding me? Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, just to name a few. Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of guys, and apparently he's been wanting to be a coach since he was in, like, middle school.
Perfect.
Ty Dunn's got this write-up from him ahead of last year's Super Bowl that Bobby had tweeted out.
He walked around with a clipboard in middle school on the sidelines.
Basically, dude. He's like,
wore a headset to school.
Not trying to really get on the field, just trying to be on the sideline. And he says he's always kind of seen football a little bit differently than his peers. And so he's had a nice come up, and he's still super young. Couple of things of note here. The Eagles were ranked 7th in the league this year in terms of how often they disguised their coverage. So you show one thing pre-snap, you're doing something totally different. The Rams, the Panthers, the Ravens, the Niners, the Seahawks, the Bills, and then the Eagles there at 7 for how often they did that. Now, we know Fangio and company, they don't really want to do too much blitzing. And who knows what exactly he takes from Fangio and what he kind of has his own style. And if you don't have the horses to get pressure with four, then you got to blitz, right? But the other thing to consider, you have Jalen Phillips, edge rusher, free agent, Eagles. Could he become a little bit more of a guy that you would be interested in if this guy ends up being your DC? N'Kobe Dean at linebacker. Those are two players on that Eagles defense that the Cowboys certainly could use, positions that you could certainly use, and those would just be two guys that maybe I would be thinking about. If this guy does become the DC, then maybe those two names become a little bit more likely for the Cowboys.
Has Phillips built up a decent track record of staying healthier now? After 1 year, I mean, that's the big concern there. We can't spend money on injuries.
Yeah, I totally get that. That is going to be the risk with Jalen Phillips. He's got a long history of being banged up, and he's got a long history of being really productive when he's healthy. He has been healthy this year for the Dolphins, and then when he got traded to Philadelphia, he's been healthy and he's been really productive. So I don't know, maybe just the injury concerns, he would immediately be off the list. He is a young pass rusher looking for his first big NFL contract, so I don't imagine he's trying to take any discounts of any kind. But N'Kobe Dean will be an affordable linebacker for sure.
Yeah.
If the Cowboys are interested there.
But a good blitzer. Spotrac, and I over the cap is probably the one that I think teams think is more correct or a better source here. But $17.3 million is the value for Phillips right now. I did see him listed as some of the free agents to avoid on some lists, and it's because that 8.5 sack mark, the high water mark. But hey, $17.3 million. If he hits, that's actually a pretty cheap deal for a good pass rusher. If he doesn't and he's hurt, then obviously you're like, well, crap, I've overpaid for the dude. But that's the gamble you pay in free agency.
Yeah, for sure. That would be a gamble, and I'm just trying to connect some level of dots here.
Like,
but yeah, I mean, I'm definitely interested in this guy for sure. Now, Bobby had an interesting poll on Twitter. I want to take y'all's temperature on this. He says, which of these is the scariest outcome for us as Cowboys fans? Is it the Giants getting John Harbaugh as their head coach? Is it the Commanders getting Brian Flores as their defensive coordinator, or is it the Eagles getting Mike McDaniel as their offensive coordinator?
Check. Mike McDaniel, I think.
Yeah, Niner Rossini had the report that McDaniel and Dable are the two favorites, or the two guys they really want to be their OC. I went Flores to Washington.
I did, too. I did, too. Just because you feel like, man, they have Jaden Daniels. We'll see what they do at offensive coordinator now. But with Jaden Daniels, if he's going to be healthy, that offense should be solid. And then you're going to throw Brian Flores. Now I got to see him twice a year. A defense that we've seen give this Cowboys offense plenty of fits.
That odd with a defensive head coach? Is he just going to surrender the scheme and just go be walk around Dan Quinn, maybe coach the defensive lineman? What are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what his exact role would be. I'm sure he'd have plenty of input, but yes, this would kind of, I guess, allow him to just be more of that CEO coach that doesn't have to be hands-on and just a guy that could really be, in Brian Flores, the head coach of the defense. I don't have to worry about this. So, I don't know. It is an interesting pairing, but I think they would put together quite a defense.
Two, you probably have the most brain power on defense in the NFL.
Yeah.
There's any way to put that together. They need good players badly, though.
So you go McDaniel, you go Flores, Wolchuk, Broadus.
Yeah, I think that to me, what you're worried more about, I'd be worried about McDaniel, yeah, for sure. So I'd be worried
getting the most out of Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Getting a rushing attack. Yes, I mean, yes. With him and Stoutland as the offensive line coach, the rushing attack
stuff,
could be pretty nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah, they already have Fangio. You know that Eagles defense is going to be solid at the very least here moving forward. So I totally get that. But it was a fun question there, and I went Flores as well. But I think Mike McDaniel as the Eagles OC would be kind of scary. It just depends on like, is Jalen Hurts going to be good enough at all? Is there any play caller that's really going to get the most out of him at this point?
Yeah. And if anybody could, I think it could be Mike McDaniel. The text has an interesting point. What about Washington and Jaden Daniels with Mike McDaniel?
Yeah, that
might be scarier.
That would be very scary. McDaniel knows Dan Quinn well. I was on staff in Atlanta when he was there. He's coached in Washington before. Mm-hmm. If they got McDaniels as the OC and they got Flores as a DC.
Good Lord.
That would be maybe the nastiest combo in all of the NFL.
Yeah, that'd be gross, and I would be so upset.
Yeah.
That'd be terrifying to deal with.
But McDaniel's still getting a lot of head coaching looks. Flores is getting a handful himself, so hopefully we don't even have to worry about any of this.
Yes, but, I agree.
And John Harbaugh bailed out of the Giants interview today, so he's going to go peruse some other opportunities. Maybe he jumps on with Cam Ward or somebody like that, and we don't even have to worry about Harbaugh being with the Giants. Now, I wanted to play this sound for you guys. This is your buddy. This is your guy, Sean Payton. Is he being a total bleep hole right
here?
He's
a jerk. He's an absolute jerk.
Is this another example of it? You have the linebacker, Dre Greenlaw, who's been banged up for the Broncos. He's back at practice. Looks like he's on track to play for the Broncos versus the Bills this weekend. And this was an interaction about Dre Greenlaw that Sean Payton had with a Broncos reporter.
Sean, having Greenlaw back for this game, his ability to attack downhill in the run game, just how big is that and the timing of it for this one?
Do you want him to attack downhill? Is that your, like, what do you know about attacking downhill in the run game? You don't know. All right, that's right.
But
have him attacking downhill. Okay. It's good to have a healthy Dre Greenlaw back in the game. Yeah.
Third quarterback.
Wow.
Like, he hates that reporter. Yeah. He obviously hates that reporter.
Is that Mike Kliss?
If it is, I'd be so happy.
Do you want to catch me outside?
I'd be so happy if it is.
It was not Mike Kliss. It was Luca Evans who took to Twitter. He's clearly a young guy. He says, this was actually a funny moment, and we joked about it after. So it's all good. All
right. Yeah, that's what an abused spouse says.
Yeah, real fun.
No, that's not what you think.
Oh, it's fine, dude. We're boys.
We laughed it off. This is how we play.
Yeah. We're totally cool.
Yeah.
He knows I'm a ball guy. He is, too.
Just knows I'm a linebacker.
Never doubt my football acumen. I don't know. Sean Payton, just, my gosh, unlikable, man. He really is. But he's a good coach. He's getting the most out of Bo Nix. He also says, in regards to the Broncos fans, he says, for years, we were conditioned as fans to raise the noise level when the team breaks the huddle, but the noise level needs to be loudest when they enter the huddle.
Huh.
So he's trying to rally the Broncos fans to just be loud at all times. And I can tell you, being loud at a game for four quarters you're losing that voice.
Yes.
Yeah. You're losing that voice. Thank God we didn't have to do a show on New Year's because or New Year's Day because the night before being at the Ohio State-Miami game, of course I'm screaming. You know, I'm treating it like the World Series brought us. And so, yeah, I woke up the next day.
Let's stand up here. Let's go.
Next day, I had no voice. So, yeah. But you got to be committed this time of year. You absolutely do. You have two odds makers were asked for their NFL power ratings before the playoffs. And despite being the AFC's number one seed, the Broncos weren't in either of the odds makers' top five.
Mm. Yeah.
Seahawks and Rams were number one and two in both of the odds makers' minds.
Whose house?
So take that for what you will. I do think the Broncos are now favored in that game. They're now favored by one. Is that what
you
I
got,
saw?
You got ball sacked.
Did I get sacked on
you,
that?
You did.
One of the little ball sacks from Bratis. Did I actually get ball sacked on that?
No, you didn't.
Okay.
They're by 1.5.
Okay, very good. Now, interesting numbers here with Puka Nacua, Rams wide receiver. You asked the question the other day, like most clutch or whatever?
I thought most clutch. I was asking you guys.
Well, I mean, the
answer
to that's McCaffrey. Most clutch receiver? Are you kidding me? Did you see the catch he made?
That's true. He made some damn good catches.
He did make some damn good catches.
But Puka Nacua, his career receiving yards per game are most in NFL history in the regular season. He's 95 yards per game for his career in the regular season. But wait, there's more.
Mm.
In the playoffs, he averages over 108 yards per game receiving, which is also the most in NFL history. Now, you also have Devontae Adams, Rams wide receiver, who has been around, right? He's been with the Raiders, of course, the Packers, been with the Jets. He's seen what the other side can look like.
Not good.
Grass is not always greener when you leave a team. He's apparently telling Puka and all of his teammates with the Rams, like, whatever it is, I don't care what you've got to do, make sure you stay in this building forever. So he's kind of being like the recruiter there for McVay and company with the Rams, like, dudes, don't go chasing bags in other places. You might end up in Vegas. You might end up with the Jets, okay?
Yeah.
Just appreciate what you have here with McVay and the Rams.
You might not know how great it is if this is all you've ever known as a pro football player.
Absolutely.
It gets much worse elsewhere. I don't know why you would imagine leaving, but hey, a couple of million dollars extra, we're chasing those greener pastures. I could be out of this league in no time. I'm not falling for that. Not drinking the Kool-Aid.
Thanks, Devontae. I appreciate what you're saying, but no. I get that, too. Now, Matthew Stafford, his last 10 games, outdoors in the rain or in the snow.
Okay.
And he's going to be in Chicago.
Where it's going to be balls cold.
20 degrees, 18 miles per hour wind gusts.
Talk about having a little ball sack.
55% chance of snow.
That's shriveled.
Didn't he, like, against Philadelphia last year, like,
yeah,
play his ass off in snow conditions?
Yeah.
He played his ass off in a loss. He did.
Yeah, I just remembered. And the guy played in Detroit in the NFC North for a long time.
Stafford will be just fine, all right? You get that out of your head.
What are you doing over there?
What are you doing?
Come on, man.
Come on, bro.
How many games did he win in Detroit?
Know the quarterback, please.
Inside indoors.
Divisional record in Detroit. We're going cold. How did he do in Chicago and Green Bay?
Last 10 games, in the rain or in the snow, he's 1-9. 16 touchdowns, 11 picks.
It ain't his
fault. Man, it ain't his fault. His team was bad. He's going to get it done.
this is Detroit carryover. This isn't all Rams work for him?
No.
I can't imagine.
He's blaming the Honolulu Blue for this one.
Probably only gets one or two a year.
What are we doing over there?
That final drive was pretty nasty for Stafford. I mean, he had some drops along the way. He looks like he can throw.
What was the one win, by the way?
But he can spin it in the snow. I'm not really worried about that.
For some reason, I do want to believe the Panthers just kind of have their number, and there's Rams panic going on right now. He's going to be all right. They're not going to lose to the Bears.
No, they're going to kick their ass.
I have a Mike Tomlin story from Twitter here.
Do you have
that
the one win
he
did have? Do you have the one win?
No, I don't.
Oh, it was a huge win. Of course you don't have
it. It was obviously a big win.
Was it the one to get him to the Super Bowl?
There's a Mike Tomlin bathroom story that I want to read, but okay. I'm a little bit scared.
Okay, don't say, because I've seen this, don't say the P word.
And then it's just rendered useless.
Yeah.
Then the whole story, I would just flush it down the toilet.
And I was told we can't say it. So.
Okay.
You can say pee-pee.
No.
But
you can say squirt of urine still?
You can say that.
Okay. Oh, is this a wang situation?
No. I was told you can't say.
The P-I-S-S?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's vulgar. Appreciate you not saying it, Wolchuk.
It's total garbage.
So I know, because the story's fantastic.
I'm going to say it at 6:30.
That's Mike Bassick's favorite word, too, by the way.
6:30 in the hodgepodge. I'm saying the P word twice.
Looking forward to it. Okay, we got G-Bag of the Day coming up at 5:30, LA Live 5:40, and we'll hit the expressway, give you everything that's been breaking throughout your broadcast afternoon, including the latest on the Mavs coming up next year to the G-Bag.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back, too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Back Nation, the fan. Welcome back, Nation. Time to hit the expressway. We're going to take you commercial-free to the top from here. G-Bag of the Day coming up with Lucius at 5:30 and then LA Live at 5:40. This segment, the expressway itself, is brought to you by the on-time experts. They're talking about the Cowboys D.C. candidate Christian Parker in Pittsburgh as well as a potential head coach candidate. So this is a fast riser. That's an outlier, though, and they have not requested permission to speak with him as of yet. But a number of things coming down the pike here with the Cowboys. We'll reset you on that coming up at 6 o'clock. I will tell you right here, Brian Flores is still on the Cowboys' list of consideration. This is from Josina Anderson this afternoon as they continue to evaluate and research all qualified candidates. I am told it's pretty fun to see the Cowboys this committed to an exhaustive search and seeing what they might find that they didn't know they were even looking for. And I think this approach is very much preferred. That being said, I don't believe Flores is a real candidate. I don't think he's going to do anything but be a head coach or go back to Minnesota and be a coordinator. I also think that when you're talking specifically about these Cowboys, they don't want somebody with a really strong opinion and personality. They want calm, sure, let's all get along. That's Jason Garrett. That's Mike McCarthy. That's Brian Schottenheimer. Like, you can't try to take control of the organization through your passion and your football knowledge and insisting, damn it, I'm the head coach, so it's going to be this way. I just don't think like a Vrabel or a Flores works for the Cowboys. I don't think the Joneses would want to work with that. Like they said, you know, maybe Belichick is too strong of a personality and insistent on his way or the highway.
Yeah, but I think you're just a little bit more naturally neutered when you're the DC and you're not the head coach. I think for a head coach, I'm 100% in agreement with you, but I still think there's that shoddy buffer between Flores, the DC, and the front office. And we know the Cowboys do allow plenty of input from like a personnel standpoint and things like that. So I think from a coordinator standpoint, they could stomach it more than from a head coach standpoint. That's just my read on it. Okay. But also, like, why would he even take a DC interview job or interview with the Commanders?
You would have to want out of Minnesota, but why would you want out of Minnesota when you're one of the best football think tanks working with Kevin O'Connell?
Yeah.
Like, you guys are workshopping against each other all day. You know it's successful there. You have roots settled down. He said he liked Minnesota. Like, right. If you went to Minnesota and there's reasons in the world where people don't like Minnesota, especially right now, if you were inclined to be that way or you didn't like the cold or you didn't like this, that, or the other thing, you would be on your way out, but there's no reason to believe that he would want to leave.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Like, I'm surprised to see that he's even taking an interview as a DC somewhere else.
And maybe that's just to up his price tag, possibly, in Minnesota. Yeah. I mean, like Kevin O'Connell saying that he was the number one priority, so maybe it's like, hey, just so you know, if you don't give me what I want, I'll flirt with Washington over here. But
let's see what I can get.
I'm with you. I've always thought it was a pipe dream to be able to land Flores because I think he's going to stay in Minnesota or get a head coaching job.
Donnie Moore's going back to Oregon. Dante Moore, quarterback, going back to the Ducks. Could push another player up the board there out of range for the Cowboys at, you know, 12 or 20 and all the – we'll have to see how Ty Simpson and Trinidad Chambliss go through this draft process and how much teams are going to like them. Rich Paul, agent for LeBron and a bunch of other people and Anthony Davis, he does want the trade. He's pushing for it. He's one of the most powerful people in the entire league. But the belief here from Tim McMahon today is he thinks AD can get a new extension from a different team, but not the Mavs. which is weird because there's 2 years left on his contract. Like, this is an early extension for a heavily injured dude. He's obviously trying to get paid one more time before he gets too old to even have it be feasible. But I find it hard to believe that a team out there is willing to pay him. And if they're willing to pay him, why can't the Mavs get trade value for him? You tell me you're going to ignore all this injury stuff and his age and say, we want to do an extension for you at, you know, whatever value it is that you think you are, but we're not willing to give the Mavs anything of a significance. We had Tim Cato on a couple of hours ago, and he said it's really starting to look like AD's going to be a Mav until early next year when maybe he can start to rebuild his value. They are hosting the Nuggets tonight. The final word is... AD is not having surgery on his hand. He's gonna work around that with physical therapy. I mean, how do you trust that if you're trying to trade for him? I can't trust that. I mean, this is a guy who has opted to not have surgery in the past, and he keeps getting super injured. You know, maybe it's because you should have had more operations, or maybe it's because your body is just signaling to everybody that we're tapping out here. Mavs are actually 11-10 at home. This game's on ESPN tonight at 8:30. And I was just watching the ESPN bet show. They said the Mavs -2.5 is a good wager here this evening. So salute to them for playing pretty good ball. All right, it's time to go into the Pimp Cup where Lucius Alexander.
Yeah. Tell you what, that boy AD, he is capable of injuring himself in rehab. He's capable of doing that.
No question.
Yeah. He'd be like our guy, the Colts quarterback, Richardson. He's using the cords and it snaps. Pow. Snaps in his.
Look at Carpal Tunnel just signing his next deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that last one, that was a sign. Yeah. I'm just putting my hands in to give you a little body as you go baseline.
Yeah, and it's Luke. Who was it again? It was, It was the skinny. Crap! Now I was going to say Luke Kennard.
It was not a quick or powerful player.
Oh, it was Markkanen.
Yeah, it was Lauri Markkanen. Like, are you kidding me? This isn't some big. This isn't Shaq. You're trying to stop here. It's a skinny dude.
Yeah, he'll break a knuckle from a fist bump. This dude, pow.
Yeah.
All right, G back in the day. We do it every weekday on the Fan 5:30. My name is L.A. Lucius Alexander. All right. Our winner and champ right here is a G Bag Nation combo pack. Combo breaker. Yeah, Woolchuck right here dropped a new phrase on us. Check this out.
You got Mara secretly meeting with him at his house, trying to just do diligence.
Do diligence. I was hoping to hear it today during the G-Bag Nation broadcast so I could scream like Pee-wee Herman's house.
That's the word of the day. Have to see. We still got plenty of show to go.
Yeah, we do.
That's unfortunately.
We always have plenty of show to go.
We lead the league in plenty
it's
of
the show. That doesn't end.
Another hour and a half.
It goes on and on, my friend.
Yeah, party right. Never ends.
And Mr. Broadus right here has a little sack.
Mm-hmm. Any new names to be aware of right now? We got an interview going down with Zach Orr and Jonathan Gannon is the latest.
Yeah, I got. I was told they're working on names. I got a little ball sack though. I asked about a guy. There was.
I asked about
you. What? That's random.
Thank you for sharing, Brian.
I've always wondered.
I got fooled. What are you supposed to say?
I got fooled. I got a little ball sack. What? I got fooled. Again. That's what you say, right?
Yeah.
That's what you kids say. I got a little ball sack.
Guys. I like how you rolled off that with a W reference though. Yeah. That was nice.
Yeah. Fool me, can't get fooled again.
Couple old dudes at it. Yeah.
Happy birthday to LL Cool J, bros.
Oh, yeah.
Dude's right there. They called me Big L.A.
LA.
I think, what is he, like 50, A? 50? Yeah, I don't know. I just know it's his birthday.
I think he and I are the same bottle of wine.
That's crazy, bro.
Yeah, he looks great, though, huh?
Always.
Yeah.
Remember when that guy trying to run in his house and rob him?
Yeah.
LL Cool J beat the dude up in his underwear?
Yeah.
I'm talking about beat him up and tied him with some phone cord or something like that and let the cops come pick him up. Oh, my gosh. Big L.A. All right, let's see what we got here. Oh, if this is from yesterday, I'm going to play this joint. Toxic Tuesday, Mickey Spagnolia's podcast. Spagnolia.
Yeah.
The whole Spagnolia. Home of the Soldiers. Yeah, Mick Shots. Heckma Harrison and Mickey Spags go back and forth right here. Shout out to Everson Walls and Bill Jones on the pod. Point of contention, you can't be a real fan of the team if you're working in a professional capacity.
So here's the deal. Right? Because I'm definitely going to celebrate that the Eagles lost. And there's nothing that you're going to say.
Why are you?
Because I hate them.
See?
Because I hate him. I hate him.
All right.
I hate him. Like
most Dallas Cowboy fans.
Yeah.
Say, I hate him.
No. I mean, all the stuff coming back.
Again.
You can't.
Again.
You can't
again.
Analyze.
Again. What you're not going to do is point over here and call me a fanboy anything. Mickey, what you're going to do is you're going to come in here and you're going to correct yourself and you're going to make sure you get it right today. All right? So when I tell you that your other boys are the Chicago Bears, and you just pretty much make my case for me because you're happy that Chicago won. I'm just saying, just own it. Just own it. Just
fan man.
Whichever you want to be. Whatever you want.
Ever since Walls called him fan man.
Either way, it's a good day.
You compromise here.
It's a good day today in Dallas Cowboy land because the Philadelphia Eagles lost.
You can't shout me down, all right?
I'm not shouting you down.
That's the word.
I at least have some integrity.
Is that what you're calling this today?
Yes, I am.
You're going to call it integrity because the Chicago Bears beat the Green Bay Packers. Now, didn't you walk in here and say you're a Green Bay Packers fan?
I was.
Wait a minute. So just because you became a writer means that you can no longer be a Green Bay Packers fan?
Exactly.
Are you serious, man?
Exactly.
So when there's nobody in your living room,
shut up.
You don't pull for the Green Bay Packers.
Shut up.
Then who are you telling me? Shut up.
Hecker did a nice job, man.
That's
a professional broadcaster, right?
Maintain his integrity.
That could be a new Marvel character.
Fan man.
The fan man.
Shut up.
Mickey probably thinks it's a good time to make Mick Schatz a solo podcast.
It's working that way. It really honestly is. It's working that way.
I've got integrity.
Yeah. Let's go to my man Skip Bayless right here.
Oh, no.
Gil's Arena.
Oh, no.
Skip Bayless just talking a little NBA, man.
Don't draft American 7-footers in the lottery because they're going to bust on you. Luke Kornet is not a bust. Like he's decent. He's reasonable.
Yeah. American 7-footers are going to do what?
Bust.
Whoa. They're going to do what?
They're going to bust.
No, we get what you're saying. Yeah. We're a little harder here on this conversation.
Yeah. It's just where you said they were going to bust.
Yeah.
What's that?
What's that?
What's that?
Poor Skip.
Excuse me.
I hope to be an American 7-footer tonight.
Boy, it's about time, isn't it? Drink to that. Skip should have taken the retirement signal about, 4 years ago, 5 years ago? When it didn't work at Fox.
On. Can't do it.
Yeah.
He can't. He can't help himself.
Can't do it.
Staying relevant, the ego.
Can't stop rapping, won't stop rapping. Like Too Short said, this is my last album. Then he did like 10 more albums after that.
This dude will put like a 30-minute, like he's just talking into his phone for 30 minutes and he'll upload it onto Twitter.
Yep, right there in his kitchen.
It's like, oh my gosh.
Sitting at the bar stool.
How do you still have the energy for this?
Yep.
This is not one. But this construction crew hit a parked car in the street and they went to notify the owners. I just like how my man just owned it. Listen.
Hello, how you doing? Is your husband at home?
Yeah.
Is this y'all vehicle right here?
Do we need to move it?
No, it's too late. We already hit it.
Okay.
Okay.
Nah, it's too late. We already hit it. Nah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You can leave it there now. Just letting you know.
We just moved it a little further down the road
for
you.
We pushed it down the road a little bit.
Is this y'all vehicle right here?
Do we need to move it?
No, it's too late. We already hit it.
Okay. And last one. I had to get rid of this. This is probably about a week or so old. Marshawn Lynch on the Manning cast. Last time he was on there, he was cussing up a storm.
He was.
Yeah, and they were looking all crazy in the little boxes. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? They gave him a warning this time.
Had you on the show in season one. And we forgot to tell you that you cannot use profanities on air. So, Marshawn, can you please promise not to curse tonight? Unless, of course, you're cursing at Peyton. We all agree that it's totally fine if you do that.
Well, you know, I was about to. That was one of the first things I was going to ask y'all was how much was that fine last time? Because I know they hit y'all with it.
Expensive. No. Eli had to pay it, so it's all good, Marshawn. It's all good.
Well worth it.
You know, just to get things on the up and up, let's just get it started. Get it out there. We got it out the way. Now we can. All right. Let's get into How y'all doing, man? How y'all doing? Y'all ready for this?
Wow. God bless America.
Yeah.
And Lucius, you know my weakness for Marshawn Lynch, one of my favorite players of all time. You put that in there along with the Mix Shots podcast.
Yeah.
Man, I was walking down the hallway Monday, ran into Gavin Spittle, and the first thing he said to me is, man, you like Marshawn Lynch.
Again, live hit with us today.
What is going on with me? I'm changing. I can't stop. I'm turning to beast mode. Go away!
Got the cowl letter jacket on.
Is it our champ Woolchuck and Broadus with the combo platter? Mm. Is it Heckma Harrison on Mix Shots? Is it Skip Bayless on NBA Prospects, 7 Foot Americans? Or is it Marshawn Lynch on the Manning cast? I'm going to go with Heckma Harrison here, Chief. How about you?
Yeah, me too.
Cluj?
Yeah, I think you already know, bro.
Woolchuck?
It's Brian's little sack.
Brian?
I'm going to vote for Marshawn because he deserves a vote.
He does. By a score of 3-1-1. And your new G-Bag of the Day champion. Salute to Heckma Harrison there on Mix Shots with Mickey Spagnuolo, DallasCowboys.com.
Heckma's learning.
He's gone viral.
He's learning.
He's learning.
Jesse Holly was like, see? Told you.
He's learning. Everybody going through there is all learning.
Before too long, Mickey will be back for round two. Yeah. We can't wait to play it in a future G-Bag of the Day. But that's a strong, strong nominee for G-Bag of the Year already. I could see him taking it all the way. Okay, we got L.A. Live. Let's stay in the Pimp Cup. Here's Lucius.
Yeah, so Butt Naked Wednesday edition of L.A. Live right after the great Rick James.
Well, all right, you squares, it's time to smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toast. It'll make you dance with some of everything.
I like this vape. It makes my eyes red.
Fuck your dad.
Yeah.
I had to leave some things behind, some parts of me behind. Ooh. So it felt like a funeral of sorts. Because you have a part of you has to die. Every time you evolve, you got to leave it back there. You know, you want it because it's familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we like to resort to the familiar, even if it's toxic. You know, so you have to leave that corpse. Mm. That beautiful old you has to be left, and you have to walk forward and not look back. That's the hardest part, not leaving the people, but it's leaving your old ways and you.
It's Butt Naked Wednesdays.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I told you I'm coming with that motivation this year. I'm coming with that motivation. It's time to change, y'all. Year the Snake. This is L.A. Live for Wednesday, January 14th, 2026. It is a Butt Naked Wednesday edition of L.A. Live. Welcome in, folks. Oh!
We're busting out. We're busting out on the funk.
Yes, we are.
Miss Erica Badu for naming today and for the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding right there in that first clip right there for you. Peace to the gods. In order to grow, you got to let it go, she said. Got to let it go.
You're still the snake, right?
Still you're the snake, Mr. Broadus. Still you're the snake. LA Live is brought to you by Greystone Roofing and Construction. That is greystone-roofing.com. All right. I have a question for the Tolos today. I usually like to do that on Wednesdays. Question for the Tolo. Now, there has been some moments, trends, and shared experiences we've all had in this thing called life together. You know, and some of those shared experiences are, you just had to be there. I can't explain it to you, bro. You just had to be there. It took us over, man. I'll share you mine before I get to the questions. If you guys have any, you can think of it. Mine is the year 1996. I might be dating myself a little bit. I wasn't grown, but I was old enough to know better and young enough to not give a damn around that time. So I experienced 1996 the full way. And that was peak culture, ladies and gentlemen. 1996 was peak culture. We didn't even realize it. Tupac's All Eyes on Me came out, and he died. Tupac died in 1996. Jay-Z's debut album, Reasonable Doubts, dropped. The Fugees, The Score dropped. Whoa, whoa. Outkast, AT Aliens, me and you, your mama and your cousin too. The Bulls lost only 10 games that year. 10 games.
That's crazy.
82 games. They lost 10 of them. And it did a three-peat. I got to see Michael Jordan out there play, bro. Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, they debuted for the Lakers that year, fam. Bro, 1996 was peak culture. Tiger Woods turned pro that year. Dang. Oh, my gosh. 1996 Olympics with Muhammad Ali shaking that torch up there. Oh, don't drop that torch, Muhammad. Oh, man. The 1996, the Nintendo 64 dropped.
Oh,
wow. Oh my Mario God. Kart. AOL had the internet in everyone's home. Chat rooms.
Chat rooms.
Chat rooms. Printing out lyrics.
You had to get the CD-ROM download or something like that.
You had to have the CD, and it came in the mail.
Yeah.
Use it for free. It Floppy wasn't disc. For free. Yeah. Independence Day dropped. Shout out to that one. The Scream movie, Space Jam, Nutty Professor, and that soundtrack. And that soundtrack. Oh, my gosh. Touch Me, Tease Me with Case and Foxy Brown. Case is my friend now. Wow. Nice. 1996, creme de la creme, chef's kiss. You had to be there to fully just accept that, what I just said right there. To fully understand, you had to be there. So question for the Tolos, what's one thing you had to be there for to truly understand? Truly understand. What's one thing you just had to be there for to truly understand? What do you guys think?
Rangers World Series parade.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah. The parade.
You did your due diligence with that one.
That was due diligence.
That's an all-time day.
Crazy fun.
I'm so glad you said that. Would anybody else there?
Broadus and Wolchuk were definitely in the mix. Yeah. And Dawson made it to the broadcast position just in time to see drunken.
Lucius, you had your hand over the dump button the whole day.
It was chaos.
Yeah, your hand was right. I was thinking, please don't cuss. Don't get Lucius in trouble.
It was chaos.
The other one in studio was seeing the Mavs get the number one pick for the lottery.
That was great.
That was all-time excitement.
2011 Mavs winning the title. That was a great moment.
I got Mr. Gorbachev tear down that wall.
You had to be there for it to fully understand.
During the 80s, there was so much communism and Cold War talk, and it felt like all that was crumbling
right
there.
Couldn't go to the Olympics. Like 80, 84, couldn't even go to the Olympics because of all the problems there. Yeah.
Well, what's one thing you had to be there to truly understand? I asked the Tolos that follow me on Facebook, and I got answers like printing MapQuest directions.
Yes.
I know when Fandango
on your dial-up internet
first came out.
Who?
Fandango?
Fandango.
Oh. I can't remember what Fandango was.
It was the movie. Movies? So like you could buy your movie tickets ahead.
Okay.
You print out the movie tickets. You could get them in advance.
That's
like
crazy.
That was a huge thing. My dad was all in love with that.
Oh, boy. We used to call movie phone. Hello, this is movie phone. And they'll tell you all the movies that are starting in your area.
Yeah. Like instead of opening the paper, you can
movie
see them
16,
all
Movie 16, son of a gun. Going to Blockbuster on a Friday night is something you had to be there to truly understand. Oh. Somebody said
they had the best candy selection of anything. I mean, the big candy bars and big. I mean,
they were all overpriced. But you're right; you get butter popcorn in there.
It was overpriced, but man, it was so overpriced huge candy.
I loved it.
Great.
Oh, man, my mom used to print in the parking lot. Like you think you're going to drive by it, and then she hits that blinker. You're like, "Oh, dude, we're going to Blockbuster, bro." unlimited minutes after 7 on your cell phone. Unlimited minutes. Yeah, that was the time. I'll call you after 7. I got you, bro.
Long distance.
Yeah.
I sold long distance. I sold AOL. You know, I was there on the telephone.
You would know about it then.
Jim McCormick was
Jim
versatile.
McCormick.
You know
about it. Jim McCormick.
Jim McCormick.
Whoa, Jim. Enjoy that knife I gave you.
taking pictures that you won't see develop for a few days. You take a photo and it's instant.
Kodak, yeah.
And there was always a little anxiety like, is it going to come out right?
Yep. Can I get doubles of that one right there, please?
You look at the negatives. You're always like, what's going on here?
Yeah. What's one thing you had to be there to understand? This Tolo says that Chris Bosh Lincoln team. I think they went undefeated, didn't they?
Yeah. In high school, right? Yeah.
What a run. I wasn't even around that time. This is 02. I think I just got out of here. When the Dave Chappelle Show dropped new episodes every Wednesday. Yeah. Everybody walking around talking about Charlie Murphy.
Dude, that was an entire movement. I think in Living Color in about 1988, was similar.
Oh my gosh, the Fly Girls.
Yeah, that whole deal was, you know, something that you would get together around the lockers first thing in the morning, and that was like, you know, how you would kind of recap stuff and make jokes and whatnot. Everything was a reference to Saturday Night Live or In Living Color.
They did Fire Marshal Bill. I know y'all seen it.
Oh, yeah. Jim Carrey, yeah.
Burning CDs. Yep. The Super Bowl run the Cowboys had in the 90s. You just had to be there for that
Live that one.
That boosted the economy right there. I'm telling you what, boy. You got you a t-shirt Cartel. Printing business. Go to work. Saturday morning cartoons with cereal. You had to be there for that. We don't do that like that, right?
7 a.m. This cartoon started.
Kids don't rush to the TV Saturday mornings to watch cartoons like that because it's always kind of on.
It's all streaming now.
They don't want it. You know, they either have their favorite movie or they want to watch shorter content. They don't have the attention span for an 8-minute commercial or 8-minute cartoon.
The 2000 slam dunk competition. You had to be there for that.
Is that Vince Carter? I was the one that Spud Webb won in Dallas.
89?
I was there.
86? 85?
Yeah, I was there. I was at Reunion Arena that day.
Good man. Wow. Brought us?
Yeah.
Four bags of chip for a dollar. I don't remember that. I remember 50. I don't remember four bags of chip for a dollar. Y'all was out here getting it, boy. This Tolo says 9/11 as it was unfolding.
It was the craziest day I ever remember working for the Cowboys.
Chaos.
Trying to find our scouts.
That was chaos that whole day.
Yeah,
just
we were
updates,
trying to find
updates, them. Updates. Mm-hmm. You just listen to the radio, the TV, anything. I do this on 9/11. I go back and listen to broadcasts of that day. I just find a broadcast and I listen to it, see how they did it.
It's crazy. And I remember walking outside and with no airplanes in the air. And I used to live like on the flight lines for Love Field and DFW.
Oh, yeah.
And to walk outside and not see an airplane for like 3 days was crazy.
Let's see here. Janet Jackson, Super Bowl booby.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
That was with Justin Timberlake, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, he threw her under the bus. Poor Justin. Why'd you do it like that, Josh?
He said it. He said he was going to have her naked by the end of the song.
He was involved with it. He knew where to pool and everything. It was a bit. Boop. And he threw her under the bus. But that was nasty work right there by Mr. Justin, man in the woods.
There was outrage about that.
People lost their minds.
Yeah.
That big old black booby came out and folks' heads just exploded. Oh, my God.
Blooby.
Wasn't the middle part still covered?
It had a ring on it.
It was kind of covered? Yeah.
It had a ring on it.
A little tassel.
Okay. Yeah. Very
1920s.
Human body.
You know?
Choosing a song to record on your voicemail. Yeah, that was a thing.
Yeah.
That was a thing.
Your ringtone.
House party era. Yeah, when you just show up at somebody's house and have a party, red light, and then put that red light going. The moon landing.
I was there, 6 years old.
Did everybody stop like I see on TV where they show like the little black and white TVs and people are shopping? Then they say the moon, and
it is basically like 3 a.m.
What?
It wasn't even a daytime thing. It was like
so they replayed it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, but like I remember staying up and watching it as a kid, like. Just waking up.
First time you ever got ball sacked.
Yeah, that's what Dutch tells me. I got ball sacked on that one. He goes, "Look, man, their shoes don't match what was on the moon. Can't you tell? Can't you tell that? What kind of idiot are you, Broadus?
Look, dude,
like, yeah, Dutch, can I get you another beer?"
This Tolo says watching the American Gladiator, or I think it's just Gladiator movie, but I thought about the American Gladiators.
Yeah.
That was a time, bro.
Yeah,
that was a time right there. Yeah.
It was huge. I mean, oftentimes after the NFL slate, you know, it might even been before Sunday Night Football. Here comes some fun.
Yeah,
you know, and giant tennis ball guns.
Yeah.
Yep.
I used to hate those nicknames, though. Here's Turbo! I'm like, what a goofy name, bro.
Yeah.
Double Nike socks. You had to be there for that time. I still do that.
What basketball player broke out the double socks? Who was the double socks guy?
Wasn't that the Michigan?
Oh, was that Chris Webber?
They had those black,
the
black socks and whatnot. Yeah, and Deion used to bunch them up.
That's right.
Recording music from a tape on the radio. Yeah, I used to do that. You had to hit your hand. Yeah. You record and play at the same time and try to catch it.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I should just let it play. I love the DJ talking, but not the commercials. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I love the DJ talking. Drunk brought us at the Texas Rangers World Series Parade.
Yeah.
You had to be there for that.
Thank you.
Oh.
Imagine turning your radio on and not even really knowing what's going on. You just hear this drunk dude just going crazy, bro.
Imagine that. It's pure gold.
Yeah.
Legendary.
I got called in by the boss. Purdy called me the next day. I thought I was gone. He goes, I want to tell you, that's some of those compelling radio.
That was great.
I don't know what you're going to say.
I was just like, oh, thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
That's the type of stuff we're looking for around here. More drunkenness, please.
More drunkenness.
Kappa Beach. Shout out to Kappa Beach. You had to truly be there to understand Kappa Beach. I love that. Headed to the Cap on folks, swangers and adapters. Big old beach party out there. Put on by the Kappa fraternity, apparently. Y2K. You had to be there for that fear of Y2K.
Start of MTV.
The start of MTV. Oh, my God. MTV used to play videos all around the clock. It was amazing.
They actually used to play music. It was
amazing.
It was the start of it. It was cool.
Hold on. Let me get my beats back.
Ah, there we go. T-shirts with the Looney Tunes characters wearing baggy clothes. Yep. I used to do that. Chirp phones.
Oh, chirp phones.
The chirp phones. Yeah. What else we got? Coney 2012. You guys remember that?
Oh,
Coney 2012.
Yes.
You had to be there to understand that right there.
Big thing.
Wasn't it a scam?
It did end up being a scam, I think. Yeah, absolutely.
Coney 2012. Big scam right there.
We all
there.
Thought, like, oh, we're going to help these poor kids.
Yeah.
Nope.
Somebody was getting that money.
Nope. Oh, the OJ chase and trial.
OJ, yeah, you definitely.
94.
Yeah. Lock-in skating parties. I don't know if they do that anymore, but that used to be a thing. The lock-ins.
I'm not going to lock my kids in there. No supervision.
I'll see you in 2 days.
Yeah. Especially these boys. Get them away from that. Clubs before sections and couches replaced the dance floors. You had to be there for that. We used to actually dance in the clubs, be sweating
in
business clothes. We had to wear business clothes. You wasn't getting in the club. They look at you and say, no Jordans allowed.
Yeah, no athletic apparel.
Jordans
now
allowed.
Now we wear them on the news.
We're doing
evening news with Jordans on.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Last one, you had to be there to truly understand. I think this guy's being funny, but I respect it. When Cash Money took over for the 99 in the 2000s. Yeah.
Every time I come around your city, bling, bling.
Yeah. Oh, yo, MTV Raps, you guys got some good ones on the fan text.
Yeah,
you guys
good.
Have some great ones. Miss Cleo, call me now for your free reading.
MTV was the thing. It was the hangout. It was the backtrack for
break
everybody.
Was awesome.
The grind.
Oh, yeah, everything. Oh, yeah.
I used to watch this thing called BET Uncut.
They took it to another level, didn't they?
Boy, there's songs on there.
Yeah.
Booty shaking.
Yeah. Oh, my. You're getting freaky tonight. Oh, won't you tell me what that thing smell like? Whoa! All right, my name is Lucius Alexander. I will be black tomorrow, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise on a Thirsty Thursday ladies' night. Y'all be safe out there. I'll holla. Peace.
Thank you, Lucius. Let's talk some Cowboys draft, the top 10 candidates that make sense at 12. We got some mocks. And it will do that more and more. We got 1 hour to go here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105 Through the Fan.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.